Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the "no animals were harmed" message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
You know, it's shocking that your home can be stolen this easily. That's the brutal lesson Deborah learned when thieves found her home's title online, forged it, and literally took ownership of her home. In an instant, thieves legally owned Deborah's home. She got evicted and spent a fortune in legal fees trying to get it back. You know, the FBI calls home title fraud one of the fastest growing crimes, and you do not want to be next. That's why I urge you to protect the online title to your home with Home Title Lock. You know, the legal documents to our homes are kept online, where thieves hunt them. They forge the documents stating you sold your home. Then they borrow against your home and stick you with the payments. And no insurance or bank protects you. Home Title Lock does.
You could already be a victim of title fraud and not know it. Find out. Register your home at HomeTitleLock.com and enter WATCH for 1 month of free protection. Again, enter WATCH for 1 month free at HomeTitleLock.com. HomeTitleLock.com.
Ah. Can we change the name of this from Happy Hour? Terrified Pandemic Hour.
Yeah.
With my sister from another mister, Cece Goldwater.
Yay!
Who looks almost exactly like me. We don't know if there was commingling on the Coldwater-Miller campaign in 1964, but we're just saying. Barry Goldwater's granddaughter and Bill Miller's daughter look a lot alike.
There's some canoodling going on.
Okay, so we just said we're recording this in the midst of this just, I just got off the phone with my mom, mm-hmm. who might be your mom too, you don't know.
Could be. Yeah.
You would know.
Did you tell her hi?
Hi from your maybe other daughter. But this is truly terrifying. I mean, we're going to get into your great new documentary is back out, HBO, Goldwater on Goldwater. But I can't even imagine, just not even partisan, just on a pure incompetence level, what my dad and your grandfather, Barry Goldwater, would think of this. But this is, and I don't usually talk about personal stuff on the air, but I just was saying, Cece, my mom is 97, as you know, mm-hmm. and has Alzheimer's and just got out of a facility dealing with pancreatitis. We were afraid it was a heart attack. My brother, you know, wrote, she's depressed. She's on Zoloft. She's losing the will to live. She really needs you. And so, I mean, I'm seriously going to start crying again because mm-hmm. I'm supposed to go tomorrow. And, you know, but obviously my sisters and experts are saying, don't do that. You were just in Seattle. You know, I mean, obviously I don't think I have it. I'm healthy, but, you know. So people all over the country are doing this. Am I going to kill my grandparent, my parent, my child if I go see them? And what if something happens to her in the meantime? You know, because next week's my vacation and this is, you know, we have to plan this way in advance. I mean, I'm worried about my business going because I have a tiny business and we are extended for Sexy Liberal Tour for the rest of the year that we can't afford, you know, theater deposits and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Every single person in America is dealing with this.
I know.
On some level.
Yeah. I think also that there's just this little scare that's going around that everybody doesn't have the real truth about what the virus is about.
Yeah.
And I think that ignorance is not something that we need to, you know, that we need to kind of put our head in the sand. I think we need to really get the real truth about this.
Isn't that, and, I mean, your grandfather, Barry Goldwater, That's the thing about him. Everybody knew he was a straight shooter. Just the lies alone. Whether you loved Barry Goldwater or you hated him or you agreed with him, he was a straight shooter.
Right. He would have told you exactly what was going on day one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, but this is atypical of our president. You know, we have this guy that doesn't really kind of understand what this is all about. And pandemics are something that's out of his his bandwidth.
Especially because he's such a germaphobe.
Yeah. We've talked about this, that my mom is a 97-year-old Trump voting Fox News watching Republican still. Does not agree with you and I that your grandfather and my dad would be appalled.
Right.
Thanks, you know. But I'm like, Fox News is killing people. She doesn't understand. Why I'm not coming? Because Fox News told her everything's fine.
Right. Disinformation is amazing.
Yeah.
Staggering, huh? I mean, I flew over here from Arizona yesterday, and I was on a smaller plane, but still, I mean, it's just crazy at the airports. Some places you go, there's nobody there, and sometimes you go, there's just crowded, and so it's a very disturbing time.
We have a very special guest. I don't mean to name drop, but Barry Goldwater Jr. is on the phone.
Oh,
Uncle Barry!
Uncle Barry's here. Good morning, Uncle Barry.
Hi, Stephanie.
there's that Goldwater voice.
Is it Trump bashing time?
Yes.
Yeah. Welcome to the Trump bashing moment.
Listen, Uncle Barry, I've tried to tell my mother, no living member of the Goldwater family, the Reagan family, the Eisenhower family supports Donald Trump. Barry, what's your take on, you know, I know you guys, we get asked this all the time, right? But what your grandfather would think. Of just let's take it up through last night.
What my father would think?
Yes. Yeah, sorry. I meant Cece's grandfather, your father. Yes.
What he would think about the virus?
About Trump in general.
Oh, I think he would support everything that he has done. Trump's accomplished an awful lot since he's been in office. I don't think he'd like his personality.
Yeah.
But I think he would support most of the things that he's done, cut taxes, move the capital of Israel over to where it should be. I think he would support most of the things he's done. Deregulation, stepping up and for once and for all confronting our trade imbalances.
All right, well, I'm going to hang up on you now, Uncle Barry, but it's been nice talking to you.
That was strong and stimulating, and on that note, bye-bye.
Goodbye. Goodbye, Uncle Barry. Wait a minute. You weren't Sexy Liberal Phoenix last time. I didn't think you were a Trump supporter.
Yeah, he is. this is one family member that's staying really close to the deck of cards here.
Stephanie, wow, okay.
Are you, Stephanie, do you like poetry?
I think you're trying to distract me, but no, not really.
Well, the election is over. The talking is done. Your party lost. My party won. So let's be friends. Arguments pass. I'll kiss my elephant. You kiss your ass.
All right, Uncle Barry. We're going to leave you that mic drop moment and say goodbye. Thank you, Uncle Barry. We'll talk to you again soon. All right, Uncle Barry has to go now.
That was an intermission. That was our intermission.
All right.
The Republican right in Arizona.
I don't think he knew I was going to actually hang up on him, but I did. Yeah. Okay, because we only have so much time.
I was expecting that.
We have to only so much time. And I've said this before. This film that Cece did is brilliant.
Yes.
And you really have to see it. And I'm so happy. Tell us what's happening. They're bringing it.
I actually went back to them. It'd been off the network for
HBO.
HBO. It was on HBO, aired in 2006, and aired on the channel for about six years. And then went off the channel, and in the last year or so, I've negotiated with them to buy it back for the next 4 years, so it's going to air for the next 4 years on the channel.
Wow.
I think it's an important film. They thought it was very important. I think they realized that film they made in 2006 was more important now than it was when it came out. And so at that point, that was an easy sell for me to do.
Plus, I told you that last time I was home, I brought the film and watched it with my mom, and she loved it. And she has a hard time, you know, just...
Right.
She's, God bless her, she's doing great. I mean, she's still smart and funny and, like, you know, she knows who I am and all that. But she's a hard time, you know, watching an entire...
Right.
She loved it. We watched it more than once. Oh. I don't think she gets the whole point about how Goldwater really wouldn't. But okay. She kind of missed that. But
I think the film has an application to kind of show show what the Republican Party of that era was about, what really was what we're talking about. Yeah. A person that was constitutionalist that believed in women's rights, separate church and state. It was really a very normal political platform that's become kind of a wackadoo now in Washington. We don't really have anything it's not normal, and
it's not being normal like a long time ago.
Well, it did, and that's a problem because now I'm just wondering when, you know, if you think of the future, how much is it going to take to get us rectifying back to where we were? I mean, the Clean Water Bill has been broken down, and we've just got all these EPA things and tons of things that he's reversed that Obama did that are kind of going to be, we're going to be in a bad mess pretty soon. So
yeah, well, and
economically, that we're just seeing, we're just
okay.
Seeing
and what, bonus, you can see how hot my mom was. She's in it. She's in the film, which is why she probably
she's
it.
A hot
the 64 campaign. But you know, I love how personal the film is too. It may not be what you're expecting. It's called Mr. Conservative, Goldwater on Goldwater. But I didn't even know this, that you lived with your grandparents for part of your childhood in order to go to school in high school in Phoenix. You were born in Sedona,
grew up in Sedona.
Which makes sense because you're kind of hippy dippy, fucking dirty hippie.
And you're still mad at that cookie in your bed, huh?
But you were, I just love, you said, sometimes I'd see the Secret Service outside my window because Kissinger was coming for coffee or something. I knew he was really important, but not what he stood for. Mm-hmm. You know, and we were about the same age. You were 5 during the campaign. I was 3. Mm-hmm. And so I had the same feeling like I remember I wanted to be something. I just knew my dad was great. I wanted to be something great like he was. I didn't really know, I didn't understand what he was, but I knew he was important, you know, and isn't that interesting? But you say, you talked about him. He was very vocal about his fear of people like the late Jerry Falwell and the religious right taking over the party. He was concerned about the change in civil liberties and women's rights. Barry spent much of his political retirement as a thorn in the side of the mainstream GOP. He said the party had been taken over by kooks and extremists. Mm-hmm. He called for gays to be allowed to serve in the military, saying you don't need to be straight to fight and die for your country. You just need to shoot straight. Your brother Ty, his grandson, is gay. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's the thing, is this didn't start yesterday with Trump, this version of the Republican Party, did it?
No. I mean, I think that Barry Goldwater, people like Barry Goldwater, are considered the icons of our political tapestry. I think that what's happening now, we're just having a it's so pragmatic. I mean, I just feel like we're living in a dream. The reality of everything is just not there. But the film is back out on HBO, and it's going to be out for the next 4 years. And I came to town because I'm trying to turn this film into a movie, feature film on Barry.
So it's so timely.
I'm hoping we can get something going.
You said, I just love this. You said at the end of his career, he was seeing it already. He was saying things like, if I had to run 10 or 20 years from now, I might not get elected in my own party. The Republicanist Party has changed into less than what I think Barry Goldwater would be supportive of. Mm-hmm. I mean, we joke, but I actually did not know Barry was still. I thought last time we talked in Phoenix, he was not on the Trump train, but he is. So you have the same thing in your family.
Yeah. It's like a Mexican standoff. I mean, we have, there's one side of the family, but there's maybe only three people still on that one side of the family that are just hanging in there with scared cats, you know?
Wow. Because I remember.
You're a political family. Do you talk about politics with?
We try to avoid it.
Okay. We do too.
Yeah.
Isn't that sad?
We try to avoid it.
We used to all be so sort of funny about our differences, and now it's caused real fissures in my family.
Riff.
It's very sad.
It's a rift because you can almost take it as a, it's like a personal assault. Mm-hmm. You know that are you just that ignorant that you're going to support Trump? And you can't do that. So I just kind of let everybody have their opinions.
Yeah, I shouldn't.
My family
talk about this, but my brother and I grew up together. We're always kind of funny and. You know, in the midst of all this, and I know he's just making a joke and, but he said something about, you and your party, whatever. I was joking about childhood chores. I actually made my mom laugh because she remembered she said, I have chores when you get there. And I'm like, oh, I'm just glad you don't have those window wells anymore because we used to have to clean out the leaves and mud and earthworms and potato bugs, So I was making a joke about that. And, my brother's like, oh, I didn't mind hard work. And, I didn't get, I didn't want to, you grew up kind of delicate and wanted handouts or something. And I'm like, yeah, right. That's right. I've lived off handouts my whole life.
Your brother's at that.
Which I've never gotten a dime from anybody.
Nice. Right?
I'm just like, yeah.
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 And look where I'm at now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm in the corona-free virus zone. Here.
Yeah.
But I remember this in this article about in 19. You said one of the things Barry Goldwater, who died in 1998, might find foreign about today's political scene. There was surely the scene that unfolded on the Democratic convention in Charlotte. I remember this. His granddaughter, surrounded by the Arizona Democratic delegates, nominating President Obama from the convention floor. I remember I was there and watched you live. You said, Madam Secretary, Arizona is the Grand Canyon state and has produced some fabulous politicians of both parties. One includes my grandfather, Barry Goldwater. I'm Cece Goldwater. My grandfather wouldn't recognize the Republican Party of today, to which I gave you rock star cheers all by myself. I did the wave. Come on, sister. Yeah, but I mean, they're right. In a riveting, it was a riveting moment, a direct descendant of perhaps the most conservative presidential nominee the Republican Party has ever had, asserting that today's GOP had gone too far. That's not... Okay. Barry Goldwater believed in personal freedoms, the right to privacy, a woman's right to choose. She said, on behalf of the Arizona delegation, I want to cast 77 votes for Arizona for Barack Obama, the president of the United States. And that was against McCain, who right. was yeah. your dad's, you know, like, right. that was your grandfather's inspiration.
McCain took my grandfather's seat in Senate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, and then he had his desk and...
Right.
Yeah.
The whole thing. Right.
Interesting talking to Cece right now. We're talking about when people do the 10-year challenge on pictures.
Uh-huh.
Well, people post pictures of me from the 64 campaign when I was 3. So this would be the 50-something year challenge.
You look better. You look better.
You look better now than you did then.
Well, okay. But listen, I don't expect to have my 3-year-old under eyes, but I want my at least 10 years ago.
Yes.
How about from where you went for president with Cece Goldwater in 08?
Plexiderm. If only, you know what? My dad and Goldwater might have won in 64 had they known about Plexiderm.
Oh, those bags under both of their eyes? Oof.
Oh, ooh. Okay. Ugh. Plexiderm, I'm telling you, it is a miracle. It is a clinically studied serum. It goes on clear. Nobody even knows you're using it. And all of those under eye wrinkles, bags, right? Crow's feet. How about smile lines? I know we're not smiling much anymore. But when you were, okay. Try Plexiderm.com. You've got to try this. See the before and after photos for yourself. Use my code VOICES for 50% off plus an additional $10 off. I said it right. 50% off plus an extra $10 off. This offer also available by calling 1-800-685-1292. Mention the code VOICES. Plexiderm, backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. What have you just got to lose? Try Plexiderm.com. Use my code VOICES at checkout. Try Plexiderm.com. You'll love it. You'll be glad you did. I loved this because I remember all this, and this is so great in the film. If you want to see what the old-timey conventions are, God knows what the conventions this year, if we're even going to have them. But you had another more personal reason for not supporting Romney. The decades-old conflict between the Romney and Goldwater families goes back to the 1964 Republican convention when Barry was the nominee and George Romney, governor of Michigan, helped lead the faction of moderates seeking to... I feel like this is all history repeating itself. Seeking to insert a civil rights plank in the party platform. When they failed, Romney refused to endorse Goldwater, warning the party was writing its death sentence with extreme positions. Just said George Romney walked out on my grandfather in 1964 at the Cow Palace. I'm not sure how I could support his son now. If my grandfather were alive, I think he'd say his father was a real weenie. He left me hanging.
I guess I was looking for a word. Weenie might not have been the most appropriate,
yeah.
But
yeah.
Yeah. I think the whole 64 campaign, I was, as we were talking about earlier, I was young as well, but it really gave me, doing this film, it gave me an insight to his political career and his process and how he had gone through so many different things to get to where he thought. And it was nothing, the things that he believed in were core values that actually he could back up with stuff. It wasn't, they weren't like it wasn't a thought that was not reality. He was always reality based and he would just go down to the bottom line and figure out what it was. And that's what made him such a diplomatic and fair person.
Yeah.
But he was very misconstrued and everybody really thought he was, you know, it was the Johnson administration that spun this story on Goldwater that made him just a crazy man.
Yeah.
And considering what's going on now, he's far from crazy.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, he's probably the most sane person.
Yeah.
He would be sane.
I love that you called him Paca.
Paca.
What is that? Explain that.
Paca was just a name that we, as kids, my sister and I were the first grandkids, and we couldn't really say Papa and or whatever word, and my sister came up with that word, I think, and we all called him Paca.
Yeah. I remember him being at my house on Willow Street in Lockport, New York, in I was a little kid, and it was must have been a something Goldwater Miller reunion, mm-hmm. something, and he's just funny. I just remember now, and I must have been like a toddler or something. But he looked at me, he goes, "Last time I saw you, you were a little squirt." Just made me laugh. It's like his big glasses. I was like, "Ah, that guy's funny. I don't know who he is." Yeah, but anyway, the film, I can't say enough about it. I'm so glad, you know, that we're rediscovering it, because it sort of becomes newly relevant in every political cycle, and particularly now, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah, there are some really beautiful moments in the film that really explore issues that people really would have probably stayed away from, but we kind of went on to them, yeah. Taboo, you know, to break the taboo of it. And I think that the nicest thing about the film is because I've interviewed everybody from Hillary Clinton to,
McCain,
to John McCain, yeah. to Walter Cronkite, to, you know, Alphonse D'Amato, and various people. And the common denominator, especially with, you know, with like Andy Rooney and people, were the bottom line is he was just a really nice guy. And despite his political attributes or his political positions, he was a man that was honest, and he really said what he felt.
He was a patriot.
And he was a patriot. And
whether you agreed with him or not.
Right. And he stood by this country. No.
Like Trump, you never doubted his motives or thought it was about him.
No, never.
Please tell me that Walter Cronkite at the end of the interview said, "And that's the way it is, CC."
No, but he was a very interesting guy to talk to. He was, when Kennedy was assassinated, my grandfather was just on his way to Muncie, Indiana for my great-grandmother's funeral. My grandmother's mother had died. And he was not aware of the assassination. And he got off the plane, and he was on his way to the service for his mother-in-law. And a rumor circulated that Goldwater kind of ignored the fact that Kennedy had been assassinated and went, you know, on a campaigning. But it wasn't campaigning. He was going to a funeral. So when he got off the plane, and they said, "Did you know Senator Goldwater, the president, was shot?" And it kind of caught him off guard. He was really upset. You know, it was very, very very destructive to him. Not only was he mourning the loss of his mother and, you know, his mother-in-law, but that now he had a friend that just was assassinated, and the person that he was supposed to run with.
And by the way,
so it left him crazy.
Say that again, because people don't realize how politics was. Barry Goldwater and JFK.
Yeah, they were supposed to run against each other.
But really liked each other. Mm-hmm. And were really looking forward to a debate of ideas.
Right. They wanted to share a plane. They wanted to, get a train. They wanted to do the old campaigning style, whistle stop tours, and really show Americans what the platforms are like. You know, old stumping. You know, that was that was the way people used to do it. Gave everybody that audience the feeling for the two people at one time.
Yeah,
and that now we do these debates that are so theatrical that it's not really anything that you see the personality. You don't see the true persona come out.
Next one's coming up in Phoenix, actually.
Yeah, that's right.
If it goes on, we'll see.
That's right.
They might do closed circuit.
Yeah.
Live.
Speaking of Arizona.
Live from their jammies in their bedroom.
Exactly.
The Skype debate. The first presidential Skype debate. And they're all in their jammies. They all have their coffee.
Yeah.
Bernie Sanders has a binky in.
I'm not touching you.
Yeah, they're all not touching
you. Al Franken also in the film. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Mm-hmm. He was talking about this is a really interesting part of the film. He was talking about civil rights legislation. He said Goldwater was wrong, and he made his whole party wrong. But as you know about your grandfather as a person, and as I know about my father, they were not racists.
Mm-mm,
you know, my dad was a prosecutor at Nuremberg, and part of his concerns, I know they think states' rights is like a catch-all for racism, mm-hmm. but they really were debating serious legal issues back then, and you know, I know for certain I never heard a racist word out of my father's mm-hmm. mouth his whole mm-hmm. life. And I know he actually voted the other way than your grandpa did on, mm-hmm. you know, there were a lot of versions mm-hmm. of the civil rights thing. But explain all that, because that's addressed in the film about the whole him being called a racist.
You know, my grandfather had a problem with the public accommodations clause of the civil rights bill. So he was, that was a struggle for him. And he wanted that particular portion of the bill to be rewritten. He was afraid that would violate groups that needed to meet for, constitutional reasons to be alienated or subjected not to have that privilege. And I think that was enough for him to say, this isn't really a fair document. And this was something that had been being pushed through for a long time. And he was one of the few senators who said, no, I don't agree with this. And if it was rewritten, maybe be more constitutional. So he was more of the constitutionalist that was looking at it from that standpoint. And it wasn't anything racist at all, because he desegregated the Air National Guard in Arizona before Harry Truman did.
Yeah.
So it's,
isn't that interesting, yeah, to also, in light of today, where Donald Trump is an outward, virulent racist who, yeah, I mean, you know, we can go on and list everything. Mm-hmm. But isn't that interesting that your grandfather got cast as a racist when that is textbook for what a racist is? I was thinking, well, what my dad would think, mm-hmm, Nuremberg prosecutor, about very fine Nazis in Charlottesville. Mm-hmm. It's very fine people on both sides. I'm like, oh, my God, we've just lost any kind of moral compass, mm-hmm, in America.
Yeah, the civil rights bill was a kind of a thorn in his side. It went through, you know, he had it kind of hung in there with him for the rest of his career. And I think if he had to go back, it would have been maybe a different point of view. But it's hard to say, because I don't know what he'd do. He was very strong about that public, yeah, accommodations clause. But it wasn't anything about racism. It had nothing to do with that. It was not anything, right, to do with any of that stuff. And my grandfather was a big advocate for the Native American people in the state of Arizona, yeah, worldwide. He's been an environmentalist. He, you know, helped put the, you know,
way before his time,
way before anybody did environmental, mm-hmm, stuff with, yeah, the Colorado River. And so there is definitely misconceptions on Barry out there. And so I'm hoping, between this film being re-released and, yeah, people being, you know, having the opportunity to see it again, and then maybe getting this feature film going on Barry, that maybe, you know, maybe we can get some more light shine on,
well,
it, the subject.
If nothing else, Cece, I hope right-wingers, conservatives, whatever you want to call them at this point, see the contrast, mm-hmm, between one of their, I guess, conservative icons, still Barry Goldwater, and Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Play compare and contrast. I dare you to watch this film.
But there's also a whole bunch of lies out there. The lies, that the deception and the lies about, you know, what, I mean, Trump is just manufactured so much stuff that we don't know, we can't delineate the truth anymore. And, right, that's what's the hardest part about now, is that everything, the gloves are all off, and so nobody's fighting fair, and it's going to be, yeah, it's going to be dirty, and it's going to be vindictive, and it's just going to be nasty. And, you know, here's this guy that is running our country that doesn't have anything nice to say about, yeah, anybody, and it's just a real faux pas.
I remember my dad, when he was chairman of the RNC, they came to him with I think it was a drunk driving conviction on a congressional or Senate seat he really needed to win. And my dad said, we're not going to use this. I know this man. I know his wife, right, and his family. Right. Good. We're not going to use this. And he desperately needed to win that seat.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? A DUI.
Well, that, like, you know, I mean, that happened quite a bit. My grandfather had a situation where there was LBJ had a person that was working close to the camp, and he was caught in the men's room,
yep,
at the YMCA in Washington, D.C., and they came to Goldwater and said, you know, we can use this. Let's do it. I mean, they're doing the ads with you sawing off the eastern seaboard and letting,
yeah,
it float off the sea.
And the atom bomb blowing up the little girl with, yeah, the daisy.
Right. And, you know, so you're already being negative. I mean, Johnson's being negative. Why don't we go after him? And he just said, that's not what I do, and that's not what I'm going to do. So, and I think that shows his integrity. He was
this film about a decent man in, yeah, a more decent time, both your... Mm-hmm. Grandfather and my father. I mean, watch this film and ask yourself, whatever your politics, would you prefer to have a patriot like that in office right now? Someone, mm-hmm, that really, whatever you thought of him, deeply loved his country and you know, and believed in public service. They actually believed in serving something, not themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Donald Trump, you can see up through last night, all he cares about is himself. All he cares about. That is just extraordinary in itself in our history.
We're in a sad situation right now, and I'm just glad the film's back out, because people can see something in the reality of where it came from, and there's such a misconception, and I think that the Republicans of today are just fed so much crap that they don't even hear the truth.
You know the difference.
There's nothing filtering it. They just buy it all.
Yeah. We had a caller today, Trump, like, well, what about the swine flu? And Obama did. It's like,
Yeah.
Listen, let's get to the most important thing since we're talking about Arizona. Why have you fallen down on the job in setting me up with Senator Kristen Sinema? I don't understand.
Oh, God.
Speaking of me and my needs, what has happened there?
Because you get creepy on her.
Oh, you could get real creepy on her. Didn't you want to be first lady or something like that? I heard that.
I could do
it. Yeah, right.
I could clean up nice. I clean up nice.
You do clean up nice. You do have some pretty pictures of yourself.
Thanks.
Your nap did well for you.
No, thank you. Okay. If we do Phoenix Sexy Liberal,
yeah,
we hope you and Ty and, you know,
we'd love to have you.
Let's use that Goldwater. Let's get some other biggies. Let's get you and Ty. Yeah. Let's Goldwater this
I'm gonna
shit
I'm going
to
try to get Cinema and yeah. Mark Kelly.
Yes. That would be awesome.
I put some calls out to them, so we're going to see if they'll join us.
Yeah.
Which they're fun.
It means a little different when Goldwater's calling in Arizona than Stephanie Miller's calling.
Is Mr. Conservative going to be available on HBO Go and HBO Now?
HBO Go and HBO awesome. Now and so. Streaming and everything. It's all there.
I love you, sister, from another mister.
Love
so
you.
Proud of you.
Yes, thank you so much.
Go, Water Miller.
Thanks, guys.
Let's run again. Why not?
Yeah. Why not?
happy hour.
Thanks, Cece.